The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 352. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight we're getting bits from Piggy Dan. Thank you, brother. I'm joined by the cast, man, Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going? Let's get ready to throw down some questions.
Yes. Carlos Romero. Hey, what's going on? I don't even know how to do Carlos's impersonation.
We got Carlos. I'm going to do everybody else's catchphrases.
Yes. No originality, man. No originality. Anyway, we got Adam Vail back in the house.
Yeah, what's up, Sucker Free Sunday, bitches?
Brett Murdoch. Hey, people.
What, did I just put myself on mute? What the fuck? What up, people?
Hey, there we are. And, of course, Mr. Brian Mongioma.
What up, what up, what up?
All right, man, back with another one. I need to vamp for a little bit. Carlos, are you back, man? Throwdown, is someone going to ask something controversial? We don't really get a lot of controversial questions this week. Kind of.
My mic was muted.
Uh-oh.
I was talking, for some reason, I thought you guys heard me.
Oh, shit. No, we didn't hear nothing.
We don't hear you, man.
Yeah.
Oh, my bad. What up, people? Yo, yeah. Yo, yo. Yo. Oh, by the way, my catchphrase is dirt.
Yeah.
Oh, that's his catchphrase. So then,
yo, Carlos, you got to do Chris too, man. Yeah.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Hey, what's going on, everyone?
Yeah, Chris. I think his daughter's bouncing off the wall, so couldn't make it. Yeah. Adam, you know about that life?
Oh, I know that. That's still awake over there.
Damn, man, go to sleep, right, motherfuckers. Go to sleep, man. Shit, aren't they back in school?
Yeah, that's the thing. We put them.
But it's a weekend, early, man.
It's a weekend.
Tomorrow's Monday, though. You know.
But we let them stay up late during the weekend. So then, when it's like Friday, when it's Sunday night, all right, time to go to sleep. They're like, "We're used to going to sleep at like 9 or 10 o'clock. What are you doing?"
Yeah.
No, we don't want to go to sleep. We're not tired.
Oh shit, that's wild. All right, man. Without further ado, let's
get into some if we talk about Call of Duty, I got a good
Call of Duty question.
No? So this,
yeah.
So might as well do it now. It's game related. So I have the beta and I'm doing the whole thing with Call of Duty Vanguard. And so I'm in the office and I'm playing and whole thing. And my son comes in. He's 5 years old. I'm like, oh man, I don't need him seeing this because my wife, you know, the whole guns and shit.
Yeah.
He's so young. So he's like, oh, is that, what are you playing? I was like, ah. So I tell him, like, Call of Duty, and I'm running around. And he says, can I play? I was like, no. So I was like, all right. So I put him on my lap. And then long story short, I said, listen, all right, you can shoot, hold the trigger, but I will move. I'll move the sticks, right? Because he doesn't understand holding the controls
And
doing that whole thing. He doesn't have the mechanics. I'm not bullshit. I was going to take a screenshot of this because this dude was getting kills.
Really? Oh, shit.
I was like, all right, I'll point and you just shoot. He's like, okay. So then I'm pointing around and then all of a sudden he just looks, because his eyes are better than mine, he's just like, stop. And he just, and then I see like, dead. And I was like, I run over, kill, confirm, I pick up another one. So I go in another room, he's like, so I stop moving and he's just, another one dead. I'm like, this kid is getting kills.
Wow, that's it.
I was like, oh my God. And then he tells my wife, she gets all upset, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the bad guy. But then he came up again and then we did it again later. I'm like, yo, this guy, he's got that sight. You know, he was picking people. I'm
like they're like young kids, man. They're really good with that shit.
Exactly. So I stopped. He was like, don't move. So I stopped moving. And then sure enough, he saw one hit. And
wow.
Then the score.
He saw that shit coming before you did.
He saw it, yeah. I'm like, yo, he's got it.
That's awesome. The apple didn't fall far from the tree.
Yeah.
Gamer in the making, right there.
I mean, Adam, you know, back in the day, man, you were the man. You know, you were the game master.
Back in my day. Adam said it'd be like Al Bundy, you know, like back in high school, I scored four touchdowns.
He passed down the force to his son. He's like, you are my son.
Can't wait for the inevitable story next week. He's like, yeah, well, you know, he just got a membership to the NRA.
He's in Iowa, right? Twitch account. We got the 5-year-old Call of Duty player.
Yeah, I'm all the blood.
It's time to take him into the wilderness and like start his training, right?
That's it. Like, this is it. It's time to learn. We're gonna build that bunker.
Yeah, shoot some bears, man. Yo, by the way, real quick, this is not game related, but it related to the hunting shit. So I saw this video. This woman, you know, she lives out in the woods and shit. So she's going to her minivan window. You know, the door's open. She goes in there. There's a fucking black bear in there, small little guy, right? And, yo, literally the first thought when she ran back into her house, my first thought was like, oh, she's coming back with a shotgun. Kill that fucking thing, you know. And then people are like, no, you don't kill him. You just tell him to shoot. I'm like, oh, okay, that's weird. You know?
No, I mean,
to wait, what did she come out with?
She came out with a crate of apples, right?
So no, when she first came out.
Yeah. But the thing is, but she left the car door open. I'm like, why are you leaving a car door open? What the hell is wrong with you?
See, that's the problem with people who live out in places where there's nothing happening. Don't believe that no shit's going to happen. Somebody's going to probably show up, some animals or some person. Somebody's going to figure out that you left your fucking door open.
Yeah,
lock that shit.
Yeah. So she just leaves her car open. Don't be like, yeah, so you're surprised a fucking bear got in there? You know, the bear didn't even give a fuck. He just left a little bit, and then he came right back and went for the apples.
I don't know. I saw this one thing. This is like, I don't know who this was. They're like, and they left their purse in the car, and then they made a video saying, hey, give me back my purse or something like that. Just take the money. I'm like, number one, why the fuck did you do that?
Yeah.
Oh, is that her? Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's like, why the fuck are you leaving your important shit inside your car?
Yeah.
Bring your purse, bring your wallet, bring all that shit. Lock your doors. Simple shit. You know, like, first thing they teach you, you know, you learn in New York, if you're going to leave any toys or anything inside of that stuff, all that shit goes in the trunk or it goes under the seat where nobody can see it.
Yeah. That's in the city, though, because you go to Long Island, they leave their fucking doors open, too. It's like, yo,
you're crazy because, you know, all it takes is one person to figure out that you're stupid and don't realize that you leave all your shit open. Then you can literally have yourself a crime wave. Fucking, like, some guy from the streets be like, yo, all these motherfuckers leaving their door open. I just walk in and take all their shit.
Yeah, dude, I'm telling you, if I ever owned a home, I would have, like, you know, the security and two big-ass dogs, you know, and guns, too, obviously. Ain't fucking around, you know?
So this is a somewhat related thing. So, like,
don't worry, people, we will answer your question soon. We're talking right now.
So, my girlfriend, you know, she used to get, like, you know, deliveries of, like, organic stuff. And there was this one place that they would specifically deliver to. Really nice-looking house and all that stuff. Anyway, at one point, they were not there, and she couldn't get her delivery. So they told her to go into their house. That's they insane. Left the door, but by the way, they were gone. They had been, like, they're on vacation or some shit. They're like, go into our house, and go into the garage, and get your stuff, and, you know, whatever. Like that. Totally trusting. I'm like, really?
No fucking way.
No fucking.
You don't come in my crib. You come in my crib. I'm looking at you the whole time. You know.
What was that?
They were rich. They had a real nice house.
Yeah, they were rich and they had a real nice house. They were setting her up.
And I mean, that is
the scariest shit ever.
It does sound like a trap.
Having a person just being so trusting to let pretty. I mean, we sort of knew them, but we didn't know them that well. Yeah, yeah. Like, it's not like. I mean, we know them by just talking to them. But it was like, come on, letting a whole total stranger in come into your house and have full reign of your house. I'm guessing they had it under surveillance. I don't know. You know, maybe they had some cameras shit they do now. But anyway, I wouldn't let nobody in nobody I didn't know. Fully into my house.
Not at all, man. Anyway, story time is over. Good stories. Let's move on. First question. Who do we have here? Logic Wentz, who is also joining us tonight. What's going on, brother? All right, first question here. Although Life is Strange True Colors is receiving universal critical acclaim, the developer recently revealed that the game will intentionally be capped at 30 frames a second on the PS5 and Xbox Series X to quote-unquote ensure a cinematic experience. Personally, I find this excuse unacceptable since the PC version can run well above 60 frames a second. In the interest of gamers, should game reviewers start docking points from PS5, Xbox Series X games that don't have a performance mode considering how commonplace the modes are?
No, I don't think they should. Because for one reason, it's like if the developer is cool with just wants a specific experience, why do they need to give you all of that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, my thing is like, how come? Okay, so you don't want it to be cinematic on the PC version? That's my thing here. Like obviously, you know, on PC you could go to however fuck, you know, how high you want, but it's like console's like, oh, we can't capping it at 30 for cinematic sake. I'm like, okay, what about?
But you know that's bullshit.
It sounds like fucking bullshit.
Maybe the other thing is that they also can't guarantee a consistent 60 frames per second on the new consoles.
I think that's exactly what it is. Because remember, so that it's still running off that Life is Strange engine. That thing is a little, you know, dicey.
Yeah, my guess is that they probably couldn't guarantee, it's kind of like they couldn't guarantee a 60 frames per second because the new consoles aren't as powerful as everybody seems to think they are. And so they locked down the frame rate, probably, you know, just so they could give a consistent visual.
Yeah.
Should reviewers take off points for that? I don't think so.
No, only if it bothered them, obviously, you know, but if it didn't bother them, they shouldn't, you know.
I don't know, because I feel like that, you know, having, you know, being able to switch little buttons on a video game is just an additional extra to what the actual experience is. You know, like, in other words, it's an optional. It's like taking off points for the ability to change your buttons around.
Yeah, no, my thing is, like, I don't even care about that. I'm just like, okay. You have one version that's running over 60 frames a second. You have this one that's 30. I'm docking points off of this shit because you could obviously do it. You just don't want to. And I don't believe the consoles aren't powerful enough. The game is not that big. It's just a little game. I think it's their engine that isn't playing nice with it, you know, because, again, they've always had problems with those engines.
Again, like, if they can't guarantee it I don't see an issue with essentially just locking down the frame rate.
Yeah. But I still think it's a bullshit. Why isn't it cinematic on the PC then? You know,
there are a lot of games that lock their frame rates down.
Yeah, but again, one version of this game does it, another one doesn't. Go ahead, Brett.
I mean, that's obvious bullshit because, like you said, like you would do the cinematic thing on the PC version. But
yeah,
I did want to throw in there that you guys realize a lot of times it's, you know, textures and effects or frame rate, right? Like, they can't generally pull off both, so sometimes they'll forego the 60 frames a second to get to the, you know, more ray tracing and shit like that. Like, and that's their prerogative, that's their issue. Now, I do Life think
strange,
that
Brett Strange.
No, I'm not talking about Life is Strange in particular. I'm saying in general, you, in terms of Life is Strange, I think every game should be critically looked at. You know, I think its graphics should be part of what's critically looked at. I think every review or every, you know, whatever you want to call it, should, you know, break down into sections. Like, how was the music? How was the graphics? How was the gameplay? So, you know, when you directly look at graphics, you're like, I mean, it doesn't hit 60 frames a second. It's nothing to write home about. It doesn't have any crazy effects or anything like that. The graphics are just okay. So, you know, I do think you should grade games on graphics critically, but I don't think that you need to have, you know, the 30-second, 60-second thing be, you know, a divider. Because, like I said, some games will have, you know, crazy awesome graphics and 30 frames per second. Not this one again.
Hold on, just real quick, because I got to answer this. Mighty Nerd says The Order did it, and that was on PS4. But there wasn't a PC version that ran at 60. That's the point, you know? They didn't have, like, they didn't go, oh, on PS4, we want to maintain a cinematic 30 frames a second. Then on PC, they do whatever the fuck they want. This is a different kind of story, you know? So that's my thing. I'm like, you guys are obviously full of shit, you know? I'm not buying it. Anyway, go ahead, Manny.
I mean, the thing about it is that also, like, with Life is Strange, who the fuck needs to play that goddamn game in 60 frames per second anyway? It's literally like a point and click adventure. You go, oh, I gotta do this Twitch gameplay in 60 frames per second. You're just clicking on shit. Who cares if it's fucking 60 or 30?
Yeah,
again, that shit could run to 24, and you'll still get a decent experience.
Yeah. Again, I just find it weird. That's like, okay, what about the PC version? That's not cinematic, you know. Brian, get in here, bro.
I just think it's a really funny excuse that they're making, because I think it's just an excuse. Again, I have no idea what the issue is, and I can't really guess what it is, but I think there's something that they're making an excuse for. So either the engine just can't hack it on the PS5 at that frame rate, or they just can't be bothered.
I think it's that, Brian. I think it's that.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, to be honest, like, I feel like some of these engines are designed not amazingly, and you sort of need the brute force of a PC to sort of get them to run pretty good. I mean, like, if you go back, you go to the what are those games? The Telltale games. No matter what generation you ran that thing, even on PC, they ran like shit.
Yeah,
and those games are, you know, unquestionably tiny games.
Yeah,
but they still, like, you know, you get skipping, you know, frames, you know inconsistent sound effects, all kinds of crazy junk.
Yeah, so I call it BS. I call it BS on that. But to the other question of, like, should games have performance mode? No, if the developer doesn't want it, you don't need that, you know. It would be nice, but, you know, we don't want to tell developers what to do, you know, in that regard.
Exactly. Like, I feel like if PC version aside, if they felt that all across the board that they want to have this game running at 30 frames per second, then that's up to them. But I think a lot of times what happens, especially with PC games, they want to get under the hood and they want to tweak things and they want to turn things around, you know, turn some screws around to try to get things to a certain thing. And I think a lot of times what you notice is that a lot of multi-platform games will add additional abilities to the PC version just to shut them up.
Yeah, no, PC guys would not stand for 30 frames a second.
No,
they wouldn't stand
for 30 per sec, 30 frames per second, or the ability to tweak any of the options on there. But again, why would PC enthusiasts want to get the best fidelity out of a game like Life is Strange? That game is not pushing.
When you pay $3,000 for a rig, man, you want that shit to look good. Every game looks good, you know.
Again, it's like you want it. It's like, hey, look, let's make this really shitty game look even. You know, like, I don't, you know, it's not really shitty, but it's a stylized game. But at the same time, it's like, does that really need to run any better than it does?
You don't expect that for a point and click. That's not what you. I don't. When I play those, because I enjoy playing them, I don't see, man, this better look like the best fucking game ever.
Yeah, right.
I don't give a shit. I go there for the story. That's exactly. It. You know, you want to do the story and do the point and click, and then the puzzle solving.
This game better look as good as any high end PC game with ray tracing and.
Yeah. You know, when people were playing the Telltales, no one played it for that. They played it just for the story. They liked the story.
Yeah.
By the way, there was a PC game, like, I'm talking about within the last 2 or 3 years, that did come out at 30 frames, and people were like, what the fuck? There was a big controversy. I don't know if you guys remember what it was, but it was in recent years, you know?
Yeah, they sort of locked something down or something, and I definitely...
And then they went back on that real quick, you know?
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah. There's all right. real quick, I want to read what Blitz said.
Oh, well, there was the Division 2.
Was that it?
When it was early on, I don't know if that's it, but I remember when they first remember, and you were like, oh, no, they're doing 60. And then I sent you the actual video where they talked about it. And they're like, no, we're just going to do the 30. We're not working on that. We have other things that we want to do. And that was a huge backlash. And then a few months after, like, surprise, we got an update and we're hitting 60 and we're doing all this good stuff for the PS5 and the Series X, because they really had no plans of doing it. They were like, oh, just upscale from whatever the new hardware can do. Yeah. We're not going to do anything special. And people bitched, and then they bumped it up.
Yeah, I want to read this real quick. Yo, Carlos, you there? Because this is your type of shit. So Blitz goes, he goes, PC enthusiasts, nerds. He's a nerd.
Yo, man, he's a nerd. What can you expect? I granted, I haven't played the Life is Strange on the PC version, but sometimes what happens, what they'll do is like on the PC version, just to for the hell of it, they'll leave things unlocked. So if you have a powerful system, it
you know, it'll just start running at a lot of higher frame rate just because your system can handle it.
Yeah.
So they just leave the cap off.
Pretty much. Anyway, that's it for that question, I think. Move on here. This is also from Logic Wins. Right. He goes, Blake Hester from Game Informer recently reviewed Lost Judgment and docked points from the score because he felt that the Yakuza studio should have handled a sexual assault plot point with more sensitivity given the popularity of the Me Too movement. More specifically, Blake didn't like that an alleged victim of assault isn't automatically believed, not taking into account that he's reviewing a detective game which is literally about being skeptical and gathering evidence to get at the truth. My question is, should Asian developers take into account Western sensibilities when creating their narratives? Personally, I love Japanese games that are unapologetically Japanese. No, make your games you're going to make them.
Nope.
How are you going
to
make them,
bro? If this is to reflect how things are in Japan,
yeah.
Why would they be adjusting the game to Western sensibilities?
Exactly. It makes no sense. The game is set in Japan. You know?
Yeah, I'm pissed. They took out Yakuza. They took out the dirty panty vending machines. That should be in the game.
Yeah. No, yeah, you're right.
So, but again, like they don't need what makes these games what they are is because they are built in. You know, they're made from another country. So you're seeing another country's perspective. You're seeing another country's reality. Now I'm saying, like, what are we just going to start removing things, portions of our culture, just you know, within our games because they offend other people from other countries?
The Jigglies, remember when we saw that with the mm-hmm. extreme volleyball and all that?
Yeah, it didn't release in America. Yeah,
they didn't release.
You got to go to Play Asia to get that shit.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. It's like, for what? Come on, what's wrong with this? It's fine.
Yeah,
Either that, like, you know, like, I feel like maybe that, you know, maybe in some of those situations, maybe it's a negligible removal of some of these things. But at the same time, I don't understand why they need to remove these things. If it takes place in Japan, then why wouldn't you want to reflect Japanese law or Japanese sensibilities the way it actually is, as opposed to trying to insert our own Western sensibilities on top of something that's already Japanese?
Yeah,
I don't know.
You know.
Yeah, go ahead, bro.
You know, people. You know, there's always something that's gonna offend someone from whatever type of medium. You know, if you make a shooting game, you know, someone can get offended because one of their family members died because they got shot. You know, or cancer, something about cancer in a storyline. You know, there's a lot of different things that get shown in these mediums that cover a variety of topics and subjects. And it's just, you know, it's going to offend people one way or the other. The fact that it's like, the question is, should Eastern developers take Western sensibilities into account? Fuck no. They should, Eastern developers should do what Eastern developers want to do. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
Like, I'd say Western developers shouldn't take Western sensibilities into account. It fucking smothers art.
Yeah. What was the other thing, Carlos? That Project Eve game. There were some people that were like upset over how well built the girl was. So I'm like, what? So for the Western audience, you just want them to change her physique? Yeah, it's silly, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, should I get offended because most video game guys have 6-pack abs?
You know,
not though.
Thor
is progressive.
Thor is like those strong man guys.
By the way,
like
I call BS on that. If you see those dudes, they're still pretty muscled. I mean, obviously the muscles covered with fat. That Thor is just fat. There's no muscle there. That dude's just fat. Like if you look at an actual like I think they're called strength lifter, right? Those dudes are like bricks, you know. I'm talking about like guys like even though Tank Abbott was kind of fat too, you know. But
Mark Henry,
the Mountain, you know, the dude that plays the Mountain.
Yeah,
Mountain. He did that. Yeah.
So I mean, like, I wasn't really offended by that.
I wasn't offended, but I was just like, dude, he's fat. He's not a bodybuilder. Like, no, get out of here with that, you know. Because even Mark Henry, even the way he stands, it's like, okay, you could tell this dude lifts fucking weights and shit. Like, that Thor is just slouching and, like, a mess, you know? So I don't. Yeah, power lifter. Thank you. I don't buy that at all. I'm like, no, you just made a fat Thor. Let's just be real here. You know, and it's funny, like, oh, people expect, you know, what do you expect, the Chris Helmsworth one? That is the Chris Helmsworth one. What are you talking about? He was fat, you know, because it actually would have been really cool if he had like a bodybuilder shape.
Well, Chris Helmsworth Thor was fat, but also he did have muscle build to him too.
Oh no, he did.
The you know, the new God of War Thor, he looks quite a bit more
robust
or not as in shape as even the Chris Hemsworth fat Thor looked. Yeah.
Although I will say it will be kind of cool seeing a big fat dude like that moving around fast, because he's still got a lightning. He's still be zipping around, you know?
That should look scary.
Yeah, that will be. Like, imagine a big fat dude just rushing at you at like a second, you know, like at light speed. That's scary, you know? Anyway, we got way off track. But yeah, we all agree.
How come Kratos is not fat? That dude wasn't doing anything.
I think we all agree. The Asian developers shouldn't bow down to Westerners. No, fuck that shit. Make the games how you want. I remember. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Remember that documentary you sent me about like Japanese developers, how they kind of got their shit together last gen, and they specifically said like, oh, when we started making our games very Japanese, people started liking them and buying them, because the problem is during the PS3 era, a lot of Japanese developers try to make their games Western, and nobody wanted that shit. So last gen, they started just making pure Japanese games, and people were like, this is fucking awesome, you know?
It is. I mean, it's the same thing that's sort of happening in China, where it's like where our country seems to be trying to make movies and content that's directly targets them. But if you notice, it doesn't work out with them.
Shang-Chi didn't work out, you know?
They don't want to see us doing them. They want to see us doing us.
Yeah,
just that's like right. How we want to see them doing them.
Yeah, authenticity, man.
Shang-Chi then do well.
Yeah, Shang-Chi is actually like the biggest movie out there. But yeah, that's my thing. I'm not going to get into it because that's the whole thing. But I'm like, I'd rather just watch an old school kung fu movie, you know?
Well, dude, we all know where this comes from. It's kind of this, and I'll call it what it is. It's everybody trying to one-up each other in terms of, you know, who's the most evolved kind of thing.
Hmm.
And the problem with that is you eventually do just kind of come back on itself like an Ouroboros eating its own tail to, okay, so great. Now you're telling people from a foreign country to quit acting foreign. Like, you try to be so progressive and enlightened that you come up... And you end up basically bashing a whole culture for not being you enough, which is really super fucked up. If we're all being completely honest about it,
so racist, man. Let's just be.
That's kind of what I'm saying. Yeah, it totally is. Yeah, you're trying so hard to be progressive, you just backed yourself up into racism. So no, you don't tell another culture how to act or what to do. That's like the original kind of faux pas in terms of dealing with other races and other cultures and everything like that. You live and let live, man. Let them do their own thing. If they don't do something that you like, clutch your pearls and hide in the fucking corner, man. No single person of us is the judge of morality and or character. And despite what you think, you may have some ideas on definitely what is right and what is wrong that other cultures will challenge. Mm-hmm. And learning that and learning to see from that perception is kind of being worldly. It is the idea of educating yourself about foreign fucking cultures. So the antithesis of educating yourself is just telling people how to act. So yeah, you're sitting there being dumb and racist. Congratulations. Here's your golf clap.
Damn. Yeah. No, you're right about this. Like, if a game is coming from another country, I don't want it to be purely from, like, Wukong. I don't want no Western nothing in that. I want it to be pure Chinese.
I don't want to see them all of a sudden, you know, Wukong is saying stuff like, hey, this will be awesome. This is cool. Yeah. You know, like, I don't want to see that. I want to see
subtitles and all that, man.
Yeah, man. You know? I want to see what does China's game have to do? You know, what a Chinese developed game have to offer? And how that's what makes a lot of this stuff so interesting, because it's so foreign from what we experience in our own Western lives. I mean, granted, there are a lot of different cultures within, you know, America, but a lot of it doesn't really, you know, a lot of the other cultures don't seep in as much. And it's nice to hear that sort of voice, that unique voice coming from that direction.
Yeah, aren't we supposed to be celebrating diversity? I want to see more of it.
Yeah, you know? It almost sounds like you guys are appreciating culture.
Damn right. You know, unlike these other people. What's up, bro?
So I obviously I agree with you guys, but in that world, a game like Ghost of Tsushima wouldn't exist.
Oh, because
why? That was made by a Western studio.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like it's like Western people's like, hey, let's do a Japanese.
No. Nobody's saying that you need to stay in your lane. No. Let's make that real fucking clear right now.
No one's saying that. By the way, I should say this. The people who complained the most about cultural appropriation for Ghost of Tsushima were Westerners. The Japanese, they fucking love that game. They saw it as a sign of respect, you know, because obviously if you play the game, you could tell they poured a lot of love into there and really respected the culture, you know? So yeah, we're not saying you should stay lane. We're not saying that at all.
No, none of that.
But no, and Carlos, I'll go one beyond that, saying the reason that this thing is allowed to exist or has existed is because those old movies were allowed to be their own thing. The Kung Fu movies it's based off of, like, nobody tried to go in and make them more Western Hollywood, so they had their own distinctive flair and flavor, and that's what inspired this game.
Yeah.
So I mean, we had instances like Enter the Dragon. It was obviously Westernized and all that, but, yeah, like, we're talking about, like, the ones actually produced there and stuff. Why can't we have that, you know? I want to see the pure work. You know, because that's how, like Brett said, that's how you learn about other cultures, you know, because think about it, you watch that, you're like, this is cool. Then you do some more research and you learn, you know, isn't that what we're supposed to be doing, you know?
Yeah, I feel like a part of it is sort of the spark of inspiration, right? Where you're exposed to something, to a world that is so different from your own. And then you're like, wait, how does this work? How do yokai work? You know, there's that game Yokai Watch or whatever. How do yokai work in real stories and all of that stuff? And where does that come from?
Yeah,
I've always found that sort of stuff, like, you know, like stuff that's developed in other countries, just so interesting because there's all these different set of rules that we don't fully get over in our country.
Yeah, for sure. Right. Any last thoughts on this? Great discussion, by the way. Good stuff.
I just find it really funny how all this is around a discussion based on, oh my gosh, I had the term in my mind, around due process and how that's not really being applied here. So I just find that to be really funny. It's like, wait, so due process is now considered to be a foreign thing? It's like,
well, that's
scary.
Yeah.
The one thing that I'll say about Japanese due process, it is a lot more tilted toward guilty and proven guilty until proven innocent, as opposed to innocent until proven guilty. You will find a lot of, especially when it comes to, if you notice a lot of, you hear stories about Westerners getting arrested in Japan and how they're not allowed to return home, even if they're innocent, because this whole process of keeping them there and getting them to confess. And it can be quite, I hate to use that word, but problematic.
Mm.
But at the same time, it's like, that is the way their due process works. So wouldn't you want to reflect that as opposed to reflect it as it is, as opposed to an idealized version of what we consider how it should work? I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. It just makes me uncomfortable that we need to tell other cultures what to do. It's like, you got to chill, bro. You know?
Well, I have a discussion for after the show.
Uh-oh. All right. Well, yeah, we'll discuss that later. All right, man. Move on. Good discussion there. Next question here. Mob Hits. He asks us a question about existing IPs here, but we've answered this before, so we'll go to the next one. Has a game ever turned out better than its trailer marketing made it seem? Yes, Deathloop.
Oh, yes.
The perfect one. You know, because you see the trailers, like, what the fuck is this shit? And then when you play a game, like, wow, this trailers was totally misleading, you know? So, yeah, that's the main one for me, Deathloop. I'm like, the game is really good, you know? Potential Game of the Year contender. You know,
whoa.
Contender. Just keep that in mind, because people don't hear the contender part, you know.
Yeah, they just got to wait for that.
What happened?
We still got to wait for that Uncharted 4 remaster.
Oh, God.
Yeah. There's expectations for that. I'm going to throw my hat in the ring with Tony. We actually had a discussion on the phone, but like, this game is way better than the trailers made it seem. Like, this is not what I thought. They should have really advertised this differently.
Yeah. The advertising just made it seem like a generic shooting game, you know?
Here's the larger question. Can you express a lot of the gameplay loop within a trailer? Without it sounding like a roguelike.
I mean, kind of. Like if it were me, the advertising I would have done would be like something like, you know, you see him, you know, like go through something and then, you know, get killed. Then you see like the actual rewind that happens when you get killed. Then you see him do it again, and you kind of do like a little montage. And towards the end of it, you know, you're seeing him running through doing gung fu, everything like that. So, you know, first video is kind of sneaking, gets shot in the head. Second video is goes in, shoots somebody, gets shot. Then you kind of montage it up a little bit. Then the last one, you just see him fucking rocketing through the level, leaping through the air, and murdering people.
You know what?
Because that's exactly what happens.
And you need to have at least one part where you see the times of day change and the different things going on. You know, just to let you know that aspect is in there. You know.
You know what they really sort of doubled down on, and I think is actually the art of the game a lot more than the actual gameplay of the game.
I mean, the art of the game and the art direction is fucking awesome. Yeah, it is really good.
It's very nice, but I think that's what a lot of the trailers seem to focus on a lot more. When if you notice, like within your playthroughs, you also don't. You jet by that stuff so quickly, it almost becomes a side note. It's great for once you slow down.
Eh, I will say this, and I am in no way saying that this is equal to this game. That's the thing I say before this. It reminded me a lot of BioShock. Like, the style was so saturated in everything.
I agree with that. And I think you actually can really appreciate the art style, especially the first half of the game where you're deliberately going through everything really slow. You get to take it all in. Like, obviously, and Brett, remember we talked about this too, like by the end of the game, since you know everything, you're just fucking running around killing everything. But the first half of the game, you're going through everything slowly so you could like really take everything in. Yeah, I love the mix of like 1960s pop art and then the Soviet brutalist shit. It's fucking awesome. You know,
and it's a really good combination. Like it works.
You know,
kind of like it's like Fallout. You take two really incongruent things and you slam together, and you're like, I don't know, man, this somehow works.
Yeah,
like, peanut butter and bacon, man.
Yeah, like you have the fucking Soviet bunker and shit with all those sharp, brutalist angles, and then it's smeared with a crazy ass painting. You know, it's like okay, but it works. Anyway, any other games that were marketed wrong?
Returnal.
Oh, well, here's the thing. But that game was it better though?
No, it was definitely not
better.
It's got to be better. The question is,
okay, because I would say Returnal was also.
Oh, that game was a rope-a-dope, as you would like to say. No, but this is like a game where you see the trailer, like, eh, but then you play, like, oh damn, this trailer didn't do this game justice. This is fantastic.
Monster Hunter.
Yeah. You forgot?
It's a long name.
Uh oh. Que lo que? Who said this? I hope Halo Infinite's one of those games. You know, a game that is actually better than what we've seen so far. All right, Adam, while we wait for Adam, Carlos, you got a game? Mr. Romero.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to go with Brad. I think Monster Hunter World is one of those. Even though, you know, I was just, you know, kind of looking forward to it. But man, I didn't expect what I was going to experience for hundreds of hours. You know, it's just, it just surpassed any and all expectations I ever had for the game before I ever played it. So
yeah.
Yep.
That is a good one because I'm thinking about it. Like what convinced me was seeing a 20-minute demo at E3. When I saw, like, you know, the dudes hunting a fucking Anjanath, and then Rathalos rose up, I'm like, oh, shit, this is crazy. The trailers never really showed that, you know? Not to that extent. So
The trailers just made it seem like a kind of a Japanese Devil May Cry-esque kind of game.
Not really. I mean, from those trailers, it looked like a Monster Hunter game.
Yeah,
but if you don't know what Monster Hunter is... Yeah, it doesn't tell you anything about the gameplay loop, really. Yeah.
Like, no,
you
don't know what the gameplay loop is until you play. I mean, I feel like they tried to depend on the name to try to communicate the whole idea of whatever it was. It's a little bit more of a deeper version of maybe Monster Hunter was.
But that led a lot of people to doing that exact thing. Like, I mean, I don't know what the deal is, but it's Monster Hunter. Everybody says it's good, so I'm going to try it. Like, yeah, but it. Then you actually play it after you even see the trailers, and you're like, oh, damn, okay, they can take that shit and, like, craft it into a pauldron, and then wear the pauldron of its dead friends while I'm hunting the other ones. That's okay, that's dope. I don't really show the gameplay loop real well.
I think they took the angle of showing you the more like bigger moments and tried to make that be the thing that sells people, like the fact that you can fight these giant looking monsters, you know.
Also the story. They thought like any of us, honestly, did anybody care about the story?
It was okay, you know.
The story.
It wasn't
just
the
like
main reason you're playing it, you know.
The story, like in most Monster Hunter games, is just enough to get you along to get you to go to the next sequence. It's not really like, oh my god, there's a revelation! The dinosaur is actually a man, you know.
Adam, you got the game now?
Yeah, Big Rumble Boxing Creed Champions.
What the fuck is that?
Exactly. That game. So I reviewed it when I first got it. I'm like, all right, I'm expecting it's going to be like a Ready to Rumble and stuff. But it was deep. It has the story for every single Rocky movie. And it's a lot of dialogue depending on the character that you pick. And they go back and forth. They bring up the stadium, the arenas where they fought. There's a lot of discussing what they were feeling mentally at the time. You know, it's like the dialogue that goes back and forth. And then when you unlock characters, you can then play the story with that character. And then you get a whole other perspective. Like, I unlocked Creed, and then I played as Creed. And then he starts going through some fights before he got to Rocky and explaining the whole situation of going through Rocky, which is part of that movie. But it's saying his whole part of how he was seeing things all the way till the end of what happened to him, and then he just keeps going with all these characters. I'm like, this is deep.
That was formerly the VR game, right?
Yeah. Well, that was the people that did the VR. This is not that one, but they did a VR version, a different type of game. But that's why when I saw this, I'm like, oh, is this going to be a converted? No, they did an amazing job. This and the gameplay is there, just like Ready to Rumble. To people have ever played that. Yeah. And it's just, it's fun. This was a great game. And I mentioned in a review, I said, I could see if this picks up, this could be the replacement of what we had from Fight Night. Just make it arcadey. Get the boxing license. Get all the real boxers in there. And let's just have some fun. You know, they all have finisher moves and stuff. And they all have their own little style of moving around and one-liners and stuff. It was fun. It was really good, but the story is what really caught me. By surprise, I was not expecting it. I thought it was like, all right.
As I remember the VR game, they did a lot of research, and the only reason why a lot of people didn't, it wasn't on the forefront of for a lot of people for that specific game is because it's not only a licensed game, but also yeah, they put in the original one that they supposedly put all this effort into it. I remember they had like a bunch of different people, like, you know, as far as research, and even I think they had something to do with Sylvester Stallone in it or something like that. But yeah, they did a lot on those games.
They definitely had licensed music. Yeah, Eye of the Tiger and all that. That's all in here. Just the aesthetics, the arenas, the outfits, just everything. I was like, wow, they really paid attention to this. So it was great. That was a big surprise, and that's definitely one of my best games.
But did it have like an advertisement for? Because I don't remember if
that's, there you go. That's what I'm saying. It did some advertising, but it just was like a flash in the pan. It was like, oh, all right. So this is like a weird arcadey boxing license of Rocky. All right, whatever. You know, a Creed thing. They really, but it's not. It's deep. And at first, when you start hearing Creed Champions, you're like, oh, this is just all the Creed stuff. No, this is every single Rocky movie. You know, it's like it was nuts. It was just nuts. So. I loved it. That was good. That was a good surprise.
Brian, what you got, man?
I don't know. It's a tough question. I think I'll just default to Dragon's Dogma. I just don't feel like the trailers did the combat any justice. And how you can just go absolutely wild and be stupidly overpowered with the combat in that game.
All right, a lot of Capcom games coming up tonight. Monster Hunter and Dragon's Dogma. All right, good stuff. All right,
Torrance would say Dark Void was better than it was advertised.
Really? Yeah, oh, Torrance, man. Torrance has unique tastes.
Yes, he does.
All right, man. Moving on. Next question. Also from Mob Hits. How big of a deal is it to you guys to have VRR and TV headsets variable refresh rate? I'm still waiting for my fucking I don't know if my TV has it, but I know PlayStation doesn't have it yet, you know, because that would definitely, you know, alleviate something. Even though I think games are running at 60 frames right now just because they're still last gen games, you know, but I think it'll become important eventually when we have pure next gen games. So at the moment, we don't really need it, but it will be nice later on, you know, because then that way you, I don't know if you, I mean, you probably will still need a performance mode, but it's just, it'll be like just better integrated because the PS5 will just do it and your TV will accept it. But so at this moment, I'm going to say it's not important because there's not enough games to really warrant that shit, you know. What about the rest of you guys?
They still haven't gotten HDR to work officially. It still has issues on a lot of different platforms, depending on what you're playing. One game could look amazing, another one, it's like, what the hell's going on with this? You got to mess with all the sliders. Same thing goes with movies. You know, it'll have HDR, and they're all HDR 10. I'm like, oh, this is 10. Everything is great. And then some will do real dim, and then another one will be fine with the colors, nice bright, nice dark. So I feel like we just wait till they fix all this shit. So there's no rush for it.
Yeah, no, because again, frame rates at the moment are pretty solid on consoles because they're playing last gen games. So we don't need that. It's because this is more for games that like it's just all over the place with the frame rate, you know. So yeah, does anybody else want to chime in?
I mean, to be honest, I don't have a. It's never variable refresh rates. I mean, they've had it in the previous generations. You know, Sega Saturn had it.
Yeah,
you know, with the different things, but I don't know. I haven't seen any issues with a lot of it, you know, in my personal experience. So I'm not. I mean, if it has it, it's got it. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah, Carlos, man, you got that LG 2, man. CX
on my TV. Yeah, I'm kind of with Tony here. It's something that's going to be important in the future. I don't think the developers have developed anything for them yet. So I guess it's just one of those features that. We have to wait for it to evolve in these consoles. obviously, the PS5 doesn't have it, so they can't do anything for it. So
yeah, right.
So we're kind of at a stalemate there. But yeah, I still haven't really experienced variable refresh rates that much. So I can't really say if it's something that is important right now. I just know that it's something that's probably going to be important for the future. So yeah, not too important for me right now.
The future.
Yeah, Kishak asks, isn't VRR broken on some TVs where it doesn't play nice with HDR?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That is true.
So yeah, we're still working out the kinks. So not important at the moment. Anybody else want to chime in on this? Again, it's hard because we don't have it yet for consoles.
You know, what's the question again?
The question is, how important is VRR on a TV, variable refresh rate?
On a TV, I don't know. Because, again, I don't play that many games using a TV because TVs generally are pretty poor for gaming that I found. But as a general idea, the whole idea of VRR, I think it's pretty cool. I mean... It stops the whole biggest problem of dealing with VSync stuff and shit like that. So yeah, I think it's great. It's very useful. I have a GeForce monitor, so I have G-Sync on like all the time, and it's just great. I've not had screen tearing in forever, and it's just brilliant. I guess it's one of those things where if you don't have it, then you kind of don't notice it. But when you do have it, and then you're like, oh, this is fixing bunches of problems.
My whole stance, Brian, I agree with you, it is going to be important, but at the moment the way consoles are, it's not important, but it definitely will be, you know, because once we get like pure next gen games, you know, those frame rates are going to be fucking bouncing all over the place, you know.
Well, most games are just bouncing all over the place, that's the problem. Like, you just don't notice it, because for the most part it's anything above 30, for most people, they don't really notice what it is, but it jumps like crazy in lots of games.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of screen tearing sometimes, especially in PC games when you don't do the, what's that feature?
Kind of V-Sync?
Well, V-Sync, right?
Yeah, V-Sync. Yeah. Like, when you don't have that on, sometimes, like, if you have those instances where it jumps from, like, 60 to 30 or 60 to 40, like, you'll notice that screen tearing.
You notice that shit.
So, yeah, I guess... Since, you know, for example, we're talking about, I think Manny mentioned earlier how PC that there's, you know, sometimes there's no frame caps.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why there's no frame caps is because PC players are kind of more self-aware of the effects that it can have having high frame rates and not being stable, screen tearing being one of them. And as far as a console, if console players are seeing screen tearing, they're going to lose their shit. Yeah. They're used to like being capped up at 30 frames because they know if it's uncapped or even raised to 60, and there's a variable, you know, difference between the frame rates, it's going to affect the game.
Yeah, and I don't think they're ready. I haven't seen any like quote unquote current gen games that are tearing up like that on consoles. You know.
Yeah, I don't think there's. I mean, not the ones that I've played.
Yeah, no, none of them.
Maybe Life of the Black Tiger. Or something
yeah,
like
you
that.
Know. But yeah, again,
maybe Life is
because,
Strange.
Yeah, it's because the running. Yeah, shit. Well, I bet that shit's fucking tearing up. By the way, Final Fantasy, you know, the pixel remakes, those motherfuckers tear up, even on a monitor. You know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what the fuck, man. It's like these old ass games. I mean, they're not old, but you know what I'm saying? They're like primitive kind of games and they're having issues. So it's weird shit, man. Not all developers are created equal, man. All right, man. Good stuff. We'll move on. We're going to take a third question from Mr. Mob because we actually don't have a lot of questions. As a matter of fact, this is the second to last question of the night.
What?
You know, like I always said, man, you know, if you are guys are mad about the show length, bring yourselves. You know?
Shame on you.
But it's always good around here on Throwdown. Yeah. Oh, your boy. Your boy. I just scrolled down a little bit. We actually have four more questions. So.
Oh, four?
Yeah. Oh, yes, four, including this one, four. So we're good. Yeah, because I was like, hold on. I remember like there was a couple of questions that also added, you know, giving us some props. All right. The show will continue. My only thing is like, as long as we get to an hour and a half, we're good. Anyway, this first question here is from. The next one is Mob Hits, too. What are your top three revitalized franchises? The only one I could think of is Resident Evil. They brought that shit back with 7. You know, they really did a good job revitalizing that. I'm pretty sure there's others. I guess Tomb Raider, you know, but even though that's older now, from 2013, I want to say. That was a good revival. And... What?
A lot of these franchises have been revived like multiple times.
You know what?
Like,
you're right. God of War is a revival.
God of War is the revival. Yeah.
I mean, think about it like this: Final Fantasy VII was revived in the fucking in the 90s.
Yeah.
It's like it was the Final Fantasy VI, and then they just went to VII. It's like, yeah, this is not like the last game.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah, there's a lot of these types of games that. You know, especially the older ones that kind of get revitalized. God of War is like one of the recent ones.
Yeah, one of the recent ones. The Hitman got revitalized in recent years. Mm-hmm. Those are really good.
Yeah.
What are the games?
Devil May Cry.
Devil May Cry, that's another one.
Devil May Cry is another one, yeah.
Red Dead.
Yep. It's just a sequel, though. The original one. Oh, yeah, that got super revised.
Well,
you know?
If you're talking
from Red Dead Revolver. Yeah.
Oh, sure. Brett.
Fallout 3.
Oh, you goddamn you!
I knew what you were gonna do.
Yeah,
that's the best one. I think that's my number one.
Deus Ex, that was revitalized too. You know, yeah, Fallout 3 has a big one. It's a big one. What else? Yeah, because we're not just talking about within the last couple of years. We're talking about the totality of gaming. What do you guys think? Sonic came back with Soul Calibur. That's another one. Yeah. Even
Metal Gear in there.
Soul Reaver, that's another one too.
Yeah, Soul Reaver is another one. Metal Gear,
Metal Gear from
revised like twice. Was it like Metal Gear on the NES was like nothing like Metal Gear Solid, and then Metal Gear Solid was
Metal Gear on the NES is just a port of the MSX version.
Yeah,
but if you're talking from the MSX / MSX. Version to the PlayStation, that is a revitalization because it was a total different format. That's why it's called Solid.
Yeah. All right. I think we named a bunch of good ones. You know, I can't think of any more top of my head, but yeah, there's always these games are always getting. Even though I didn't like it too much, Prey, people like that. Revitalized version.
But that wasn't. That's the thing. It was a completely different game. They just scrapped it. They're just using the name because they own the license and stuff. But it had nothing to do.
There's actually
with the original with the Native American on the reservation and stuff.
Yeah, remember
there's
that?
There's actually
shit?
A really There's actually a really good documentary online about the development of that version of Prey, and they're Prey. In that documentary, they literally said, "Yeah, we weren't even allowed to develop a whole new game, and they just Bethesda just wanted us to use the Prey name."
Yeah, because they just had the license and all that stuff ready for
Doom them. Got revitalized. Those were dope. You know, the Bethesda ones. Wolfenstein as well.
Well,
you know?
It also got revitalized doubly because if you go to Doom 3, right? That was a totally different. That's trying to take kind of being more survival horror-y than actual Doom. You know. And
Grand Theft Auto from the top down.
Oh yeah,
running around Grand Theft Auto 3, and answering phone calls and stuff. No, to 1 and 2. Remember that was just the top down. 3, then yeah,
that's what I'm saying. 3 was over by the line.
Yeah, and then we actually got some voice work going for the 4 and 5. And shit.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. So yeah, games are always just like movies. You always get recycles and all this stuff. You know. All right.
I'd like to see them attempt to make a remake of Bad Game.
We've answered that before,
Take an old bad game, all of these are a lot of these things are already sort of easy answers, right? Where it's like, hey, look, Fallout was great. Let's make it into a new, let's reinvent Fallout again. I mean, why not take another game that, didn't do it so well and revitalize that into something people will go nuts
Isn't
over?
Isn't that what THQ Nordic's doing when they bought all those, subpar IPs, remember? And they're like, oh, we're going to clean these up. And now we had that showcase, and they're showing a lot of the other ones that they're working on. I think that's what they're trying
revitalizing,
to do.
Quote unquote.
Yeah, bro. Exactly.
We'll see about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't there a new, was it a new Destroy All Humans number 2 coming out now?
Well, that was the original sequel.
Yeah, they just cleaned it up. They just made it look nice.
Because the sequel never came out in America,
Yes.
Yeah, so. Those type of things.
Yeah. Real quick, Sub Gator, what's going on, brother?
Mr. Gator.
He goes, extra question. Yeah, he goes, extra question, just because there was some controversy. Oh, boy. But rank mainline Metal Gear games. Oh, we're not going to rank all these games. I'll just have you guys tell you. He says, is Peace Walker the best game? Not to me, but my personal favorite is 3. Always be 3.
Yeah, original. I say 3.
For me, I mine is. I could play original all day, every day.
There you go. Put so that on every original.
I love it. It's fun.
What about you, Carlos?
Mine is 4 because that's the only one I vaguely remember.
Oh, 4 was dope, though, man.
4
was
good.
4 was dope, except the install.
Oh, that was crazy. They finally fixed that, by the way, years later.
Yeah, well, you know why they did it, too, right? Because the original hard drive was only 20 gigs.
Yeah, that's wild.
Metal Gear Solid will always have a place in my heart, especially the demo. I don't even remember if I beat the game because I played the game as well, but I remember getting the PlayStation Underground and playing that Metal Gear demo. It's like
the 2 demo, yeah.
Yep, it's like you have to crawl into the little hole somewhere and then it ends.
Okay. Yeah, you are talking about the original one.
Shit, I remember, what was it, that boss where the guy's reading from my memory card. That freaked me out.
Yeah.
I was sitting down in front of my bed, and I'm playing the game, and then he's like, oh, I see you. That was unheard of at the time.
Yeah, that was
and
wild.
Still, to this day, I haven't seen that done in any game.
Brett, your Metal Gear 1 is still, Metal Gear Solid is still your favorite one, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And Brian, is it 4 for you?
Don't really have a favorite because I found 4 to just be arduous. I enjoyed 2. I thought 2 was quite fun. And Tony and Manny are going to kill me for this, but I don't care.
Oh, here we go.
Why would I kill you?
You know, it's all good.
It's all good.
Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
Oh, okay. See, now we gotta have the fighting words, man.
See, I told you they are.
I mean, to be honest, it's not a very good.
Yeah, no, it's
not a very Watch good. Go. It's not a very good. It's Watch not a very go. Good platinum game. I mean, to be honest,
Watch yeah. Go. See,
yeah.
Do you see all this hate? That just came out. Just came out of a person's opinion as to what they think.
Yeah.
Is good.
Oh no, Brian, I'm not shitting on you. I'm shitting on the game.
Yeah, that game is. You can like that game.
Yeah, you're perfectly
fine. I'm shitting on you. Only your opinion.
Yeah. No, not even opinion. I know. I'm shitting on the game. Not you. I value your opinion. I respect your opinion. You're free to like it, but the game's trash.
Brian, I'm not shitting on the game. I mean, I'm not shitting on you. I'm shitting on the game. Unless you pick Metal Gear Survive, then I'll shit on you all day.
Oh, yeah, that game is terrible.
That game, man.
Revengeance looks like a masterpiece compared to that shit, you know?
Yeah, Revengeance was way better than fucking the abomination that Survive was, man.
Trash.
How are you going to do a fucking horde mode in fucking Metal Gear? Stupid.
That was so dumb. We were playing that shit. We were streaming like, what the fuck is this shit?
Mm-hmm.
All right, man. Moving on.
Moving on up. Yeah.
Oh, hold on. Whoa. Got a comment here.
Who commenting?
Comment / question. We'll get to that later. Actually, no, I'll get to it now. Chakzilla, we'll answer your question in a little bit, bro. He goes, thanks for the hard work you put in. No other crew does 2 shows a week. Damn right. Throw down. You know?
Yep.
So his question is, do you have a Patreon or a Super Chat to donate to the crew? We do not.
I mean, the most that we have is
you can throw our bits
Twitch.
At us on
You can
Twitch.
Throw bits at us on Twitch, but we don't. I mean, the one thing about the Patreon thing, I mean, maybe we could put up a coffee, you know, on our Twitter, you know, to you know, so you can guys can do any sort of donations if you like. But for the most part, we don't do the whole Patreon thing because, you know, a lot of this Throwdown show is pretty much all of us doing this on our spare time, on our weekends and our Thursdays. And to babysit a Patreon is a whole that's a job in itself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's not like we don't want to do it. It's just, you know, again, we don't really have the time to do it. Throwdown is not our, you know, our career. You know, it's a side thing that we do for fun for you guys, you know.
The one thing, I mean, like, you know, this is to go back for those of you who remember the old, you know, the old version of Throwdown. We did have a sort of Patreon sort of thing through STFU and Play. And we used to, you know, just record our content, our conversations before and after the show to just add additional content to that. But officially, if we were going to do a Patreon, I at least personally, me and Tony and I'm sure everybody else would want to be able to offer you something special as opposed to just like, we threw you this or we threw you that, you know?
Yeah. So, but that's a question. If you guys want us to do, by the way, is it called coffee? Because I always kept calling it Ko-Fi.
It could be Ko-Fi or coffee. Yeah. I don't know, but yeah. We could.
But yeah,
if you
let us know if you guys are interested. Would you, if you guys want to give us money, would you be okay with us doing a Ko-Fi, you know, or coffee, whatever? Let us know in the Discord, you know. Again, it's not making money off this shit is not our priority, you know.
Yeah.
But the thing at the same time, I know you guys want to support us too, which is always appreciated. Because again, when we get paid, you know, which only happens once a year, we give that money right back to you. Matter of fact, we're gonna have 2 game giveaways before the year's over, because they pay us enough for 2 games. Ironically enough, I'm like, all right, so give it back to the fans. You know, what the fuck do we need $120 for? Give it back to the fans. You know.
Yeah, I mean, like, and when we gave away the PlayStation, that was a combination of all of us and a little smittens of money that we got off of our YouTube and our Twitch, mostly our Twitch.
Yeah.
And you know, that's what made that possible.
Yeah, but yeah, that's just the reality of the situation. We're not full time streamers. We just do this twice a week, obviously, you know. A lot of podcasts don't do that, but it's not a full time thing. You know, we got other hustles going on.
I feel like if you're doing a Patreon, then you should be serious about the community.
You
gotta
be serious, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we were to ever like take this serious, like the only reason we would take this seriously if we would think that this would be sort of a replacement to our financial incomes.
Yeah.
All mm-hmm. of us. So it's kind of hard to do that. And I think we would focus first mostly on the Twitch channel.
Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah.
Doing Patreon. Yeah,
shout out to you guys in the chat right now giving us love, you know, appreciate that.
Thank you.
But yeah, I think we probably do a Ko-Fi, you know, so whatever you want to throw at us, go ahead. We don't really care, you know. But yeah, with a Patreon, we want to do something bigger, and we just we just don't have the time for it, you know. We want to do it, we just don't have the time, you know.
And we're talking about the merch, remember that? We're talking about doing
that. Just sitting down and figuring out what we're going to do with that. We did have a couple comments about that, you know, what possible things about that. We just have to sit down and
we will sort of do merch. We will do merch for you eventually, though. That is going to happen, you know.
The merch on the Discord, there's a lot of really good suggestions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Merch is going to happen. That will happen, you know. So I guess you can support us that way.
I just want the merch so I can buy it for myself. I'm like,
We got to sit down and work on it. But the merch will definitely come for sure. But yeah, no, we appreciate you guys wanting to actually give us money and support us. Because you know, that's the thing. A lot of people, they give to Patreons and stuff, not just because like they want all the perks, even though there is that. They just want to support their favorite, you know, like content creators, which is what we are.
I have some that I've been supporting, just, even if it's just a dollar, so for almost 10 years for some of them.
That's how it is, man. You want to show your support.
Yeah, that's it. Just keep. They're still doing it. It's a lot of work, though. Like you said,
I stopped receiving those recurrent PayPals, Adam, like 5 years ago.
Yeah, Adam, what happened?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I cut you off. I cut you off.
Shit. All right, man. No solidarity with Latinos in here, you know. All right, man. Let's move on here. So, thank you, Chexilin. Shout out to all you guys in the chat. So, his question is: what games have the best graphics that take advantage of the new 3000 series graphics cards on PC? Honestly, they look just as good. Brian, let me finish this part. Honestly, they look just as good as the PS5 and Series X. When will games start to take advantage of the new consoles and graphics cards? Two questions.
So Brian's answer should be what I'm about to say right now. And this is going to be the classic example for almost anything going on with the gaming industry. And the game is called Cyberpunk 2077.
Shit.
If you want a game that runs way better on the PC, that looks way better on the PC, that takes advantage of the 3000 series.
Hey, Bray, you're right over there, bro.
What's that?
You're right, because you're making a lot of noise right now.
Oh, I'm sorry, bro.
It's all good. Anyway, Carlos, continue, sir.
Cyberpunk is a great example of a game that takes advantage of all that. The ray tracing. I mean, I talk a lot of shit about the game, and because it deserves it, but I've also tried it and benchmarked it and saw it on my PC with my 3080 on an ultra wide, you know, with everything on ray tracing and all, and it looks freaking gorgeous, man. It looks better than any game I've ever played. It's in line, you know. I think the two best games I've ever played graphics wise is Cyberpunk 2077 and Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh yeah,
Red Dead Redemption crazy. 2 on the PC.
Yeah,
it's ultra on my PC. It looks crazy, and you know, obviously Red Dead runs pretty well on the consoles too. It looks pretty good, but I still think it looks better on the PC. Also, it's introduced, what's it called? DLSS, which you can turn that on. You know, it helps with the performance, even with the graphic settings, you know, tuned all the way up. So yeah, I think it. You know, PC gaming is, you know, obviously a 3080 right now is far beyond the graphics cards of any of the next gen consoles. Graphics. So there's, you know, there's a there's a buffer between both there, and there always will be.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause remember when the consoles first came out, right. It was like, hey, consoles are actually more powerful than PC, but we knew that shit was not going to last. And it didn't, you know, just as the natural cycle of things, you know?
The biggest advantage that the PS5 had was the SSD.
Yeah.
And that's been nullified in just a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's a bit. Yeah, we got a question about SSDs too. I think those two games are good examples. Cyberpunk, when it wants to run, here's the thing, it does run better on PC though. Like for me, when I played on PC, it was just minor little things. There wasn't anything crazy like on consoles. But you know, Cyberpunk is a good example, especially with that way twacing. You know,
kill me.
Yeah, and Red Dead, is fucking ridiculous. Red Dead 2, you know.
And it's also important to note that Cyberpunk doesn't have officially a next gen patch.
Yeah, it doesn't.
We're not. So that's another thing. Like a lot of these games that don't have next gen patches and that are also on PCs, the PCs pretty much have the next gen patches on.
Yeah,
them.
Yeah. Red Dead doesn't have the next gen patch either. You know.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else? What PC games take the most advantage of the 3000 cards, the RTX card?
See, I actually would answer this question, but I don't have one, so I can't answer it.
Interesting. Mr. PC, no answer.
Well, blame NVIDIA, man.
I don't have one. That's the problem. I don't have a 30 series.
You gotta have it. Yeah. Look, you know. Carlos over here flexing, you know.
Hey, man.
All right, Brian, that's fair. Yep, yeah, you don't have it. All right, I think we're good there. Good stuff. Moving on.
Yo, man, screw NVIDIA, man. Motherfuckers.
All right. Assyrian Air Force, you guys are awesome, and I love the show. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Appreciate that. All right. What do you make of the SSD market now that you can expand the PS5 storage? Will this cause the prices of SSDs to go up or down? It's a good question.
Probably go up right now because it's still about getting the resources for the SSDs. That's the problem. It's the mining and getting the materials. SSDs have been around for, what, over a decade. It's still been expensive. It just doesn't ever drop the price. Yeah. So I don't see this changing. If anything, it's probably going to make things a little worse unless we find other outlets of being mining for these materials. So that way we can have other outlets for manufacturing, and then we just get more of them. But right now, it looks like it's all from China.
Yeah,
so.
Unfortunately. But no, you're right. SSDs are affected by that global chip shortage, too. You know, minerals and all that. You know, rare earths.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
I think it's going to raise, I mean, well, we already know it's raising it up, you know, immediately after this whole thing came up. Cause I've noticed, I've been checking a lot of SSDs, like for example, on Amazon, a lot of them are sold out. So, you know, there's going to be some shortages that are going to raise the prices. But I think eventually, you know, after a, you know, 2 or 3, maybe 4 years, I think it's inevitable. The prices are going to come down. It's, you know, that's just how it always works with you know, technology, unless it's graphics cards. But
for the longest, Carlos, like you said, SSDs have been part of the PC landscape, and that price never went down. I remember looking, I'm like, shit, it's still pricey for just a 500 gig.
So, you know, just to give a quick example, you know, thumb drives are technically SSDs.
Cheap. Those really dropped.
You would get a 32 gigabyte one, and that should cost you hundreds of dollars back in the day. Now you can get a 32 drive for like $16, probably less. Also, the other says the two and a half drive SATA SSDs. Those have gone down in price dramatically. I remember I bought my first SSD, the 2.5 SATA SSD, in 2012, I think. And that cost a pretty penny. That cost almost as much as what I paid last year for my M.2 SSD.
Oh, shit.
So they're going to come down, you know, especially M.2 is still fairly new. People are barely getting into that market. So you're going to have Western Digital, Samsung, and all those places. They're just going to start making a shit ton because there's a market for them. And the prices will go down because it'll just, you know, the research and development is already there.
They'll make a shit ton once materials are more readily available. Yeah, because
that's really what it is. You know? It's getting the materials and finding new outlets to mine for this stuff.
Yeah. That's, no, I mean, sub 200 ones for sure for like a 1 terabyte and shit.
But there's like, you know, M.2s aren't as scarce as graphic cards are right now, or as, you know, other stuff that's, you know, sort of stuck in the pipeline. I think, you know, with SSDs, I still think that the market is niche enough where if you want one, you can find one right now. It's, you know, there's no problem with that.
Okay, that's good to know. All right, good stuff. And now...
Oh, my SSD?
My SSD? All right, final question of the night. Domeke, who's been joining us, asked Blitz the entire evening. Thank you for the support. All the way down there from New Zealand. Respect. Shout out. Mm-hmm. All right. Have you bought a physical gaming item, console, controller, graphics card, etc., and never used it for its intended purpose, choosing to just have it on display? What is it and why? I know Amiibos are probably the most likely item. I recently imported a Japanese Mega Drive Mini because I love the box art and console design over the Euro, MD, or Genesis. There are slight differences. Plus, it comes with 6 buttons rather than 3. One of my all-time favorite consoles, and it now sits on display in my home office. Yeah, have you ever bought something like you don't even use it? Like, you know, with the Sega Mini, you know, you're supposed to play it. You know, he's not doing it. He's just keeping it on display. I guess I do the same thing. I bought the Sega Mini. I did test it out, though, but it's mostly just there, you know, because I want to have it. So, me too.
I play the Mini, but I don't play it that much. I guess it is a display model, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's see what else.
I have all of those. My 1989 one. I got a bunch of like 3 or 4 of the SP, the special version.
Yeah.
flip the clamshell one and with the color 100 and 101. I used them, you know, and I've done other things. But yeah, right now they just, I guess, display. I don't know. But I mean, I'm thinking what he's saying is like just buying it and never using it.
Yeah.
You know, like let's say if you buy some, like those Amiibos, people may use it, but then they really want it because they like figures, you know, it's like statues.
Yeah, I mean. I guess I have to say yeah, because I've never owned Disney Infinity or and I don't know.
Oh yeah, Toys for Life stuff.
Yeah, the Toys to Life stuff. So yeah, I mean those little statues are fun. Yeah, I guess those are a piece of tech that doesn't that I don't actually take any advantage of because they're just sort of statues.
Yeah.
On the other end.
I think some people just buy them purely because they're little statues, you know.
Yeah, you know, they're nice-looking statues. They're really decent quality for what they are. So, I mean, you know, I don't know.
My Xbox One X.
Oh, shit.
No, I actually did use it. I used it for my Blu-rays.
Oh, shit. Watching Evangelions.
You use it to warm the house when it's really, you know, cold.
You know?
It's more efficient than the heater, yep. Not really. I don't think I have. Oh yeah. Well, it wasn't intentional, but when I bought my PS4 Pro God of War edition, I never used a controller.
Oh really?
I just for some reason it looked nice, and I'm like, I don't want to wear it. I don't want to wear it off. I still got my old one, so I'll just keep using the old one, and the God of War controller just stayed there.
Oh shit. Hmm. So, yeah, that counts. All right. Brett, do you have anything like that? Like an item that you bought, but, you know, it's kind of just a display thing?
Well, it has to be gaming, not just that.
Yeah, gaming. It has to be gaming.
Yeah, I mean, look, I got fucking... Yeah.
I mean, other than Amiibos, not really.
Yeah, Amiibos is probably the big one, yeah. What about you, Brian?
Nope.
Yeah, except for, like, Manny and Adam, we're not huge collectors around here, you know?
Yeah.
Chris is a collector, too.
Yeah, Chris is a collector.
Yeah.
Unhealthy.
But I mean, yeah, I don't.
You have
I don't,
to see what's in front of Adam, you know.
Even with Chris and you know collecting, I don't. He's not usually one to buy a piece of tech and never really, you know, and just sort of sit on it. Granted, I know he has bought like Amiibos and
games.
Stuff like that.
He buys games, old games. He's not playing those. Yeah. He's just.
Well,
he's
I mean, yeah, there you go. Yeah,
there you go. Yeah, he buys old a bunch of games.
Yeah, he goes to those retro conventions and stuff.
Yep, you know what? You're right. He does go to those retro. But here's the thing: him and his girlfriend are avid old school gamers. I mean, you know, his wife, you know, Kristen is. So you know, she's like a huge old school gamer. You know, so she'll just play like. You know, 1 minute she'll be playing Mario, you know, on a Super Nintendo. So, I mean, yeah. Are they not getting used? I don't know. Because, I mean, sometimes they will be using them.
You know, Blitz, who asked the question, he says he'll allow it. Yes, old games count. Because you're not going to whip out a fucking Nintendo. Not most people, you know.
I did. You know, I did. So then by that, I actually did buy Russian Attack years ago.
Shit.
Just to have it. Just to have it. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the older consoles that I still own. I still have a Nintendo Entertainment System.
Oh, and the Vision, the first one, after I beat it on digital, but then I bought the physical just to have for display, which in the new house, I'm going to put that up on the wall.
Wait, what?
Put it in a nice case, the Division, the first one.
Oh, you know, new house, man. What's going on?
Oh, we'll talk about that. Yeah. We'll
talk about that.
Yeah. So, I guess Manny just brought up something. I'm eventually going to buy an NES. My older brother has our family NES, so I'm kind of mad.
Are you thinking of getting the FPGA version one? No, like the FPGA
the
version.
Module one? Is that the module one?
No, this is they made the Super NT and the Genesis.
I have those too.
Yeah, they have a Nintendo one too that all you know that works with you know HD HDMI and all that stuff.
Oh no! I'm talking about the legitimate NES. Yep, the original. Yep, that okay. one. So
the old school.
You know, you can find them actually for pretty good price. If JNL is in here. He his store has quite a bit of Nintendo consoles.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, we'll take Carlos on there. You know when he comes up to New York.
Yeah, well, that's a good idea. We should do that.
Yeah, definitely.
Shout out to JNL.
You already know.
Yeah.
All right, I think we're done here, people. Good stuff.
All right. I only have one extra question.
Uh-oh.
Which is...
Whoa!
Another question? Throw it on your questions? How is this possible?
No, man, you're throwing down questions?
Yeah. This is inspired by something that's happening very shortly.
Uh-oh.
So I thought I'd ask the panelists for their opinion. And I mostly want Brett's opinion on this one. Because I think that Brett will have an interesting opinion.
Screw you, Brian.
Well, it's Brett, and I know that Brett has very strong opinions on stuff like this.
Oh, you're talking about
if a game comes out with no reviews, is that a good sign or not?
Oh, I was thinking about the same thing.
No, generally not.
I think I know what game you're talking about
too. Yeah, I know too. Mm-hmm. I know.
Funny thing is that I had completely forgotten about that game until someone brought up that topic, and I was like, "Wait, that's not right." And then checked, and it's like, "Oh."
Mm-hmm. This is the running theme. Remind me to tell you something off air.
Oh, burr, 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 burr.
What was the question again? I was looking at the chat at the time.
The question was, oh, Brian, you could ask it again.
Yeah. If a game comes out with no reviews, is that a good sign? Is that a bad sign? Or whatever. Yeah. If a game comes out with no reviews, how do you feel about that?
I feel like is a bad sign. It usually means that they want to control the narrative of a game.
Hold on, Brian. Do we need to skirt around this? It's pretty obvious what the game is. I'm gonna just say it. It's fucking Kena. Kena comes out on Tuesday. No reviews.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's a problem because.
That's I'm not under embargo. Fuck it, I'm going to say it. You know,
usually when companies sort of pull that little switcheroo when they'll hold reviews until the actual game comes out, they're probably looking to have the excitement of people to go and buy the game, and then eventually everybody gets it. So my guess is I'm not a reviewer anymore. But my guess is. Either one or two things happen. They either have shipped out the game to a lot of the reviewers, and they didn't give all the reviewers enough time to review it in time, or they're keeping it back and they're doing.
By the way, real quick, Kishak says didn't Doom Eternal pull every Bethesda game
Doom.
Business?
Doom did that. That was a big thing with Doom 2016, and that was the big question. But like, oh, they fucked up. This is going to be horrible. Yeah. They didn't even.
I think Bethesda went back on that.
Usually a bad sign.
It worked out great.
But yeah, Kena. The game comes out Tuesday, and Sony's been advertising the fuck out of it on their Twitter.
There's something else
I'll tell you off air. You know.
I'm going to ask a question. If you guys, especially the people that actually review games, if you guys don't want to answer it, it's fine. But do you guys know anyone else that's reviewing it?
I'll tell you after the show.
Okay.
I don't want to answer that publicly.
Dun, dun, dun!
Good question,
even
Brian.
Even then, though, Carlos. Sorry, it just seems like address Carlos's question. Even then, let's assume that there are like review copies in the wild and there's an embargo, because usually that's what happens. If the embargo is lifting the day before the release, is that any better or any worse?
That usually happens, though.
Stories. What was it? That was a big game, too, that came out not too long ago, and it had that whole thing where there was only certain parts of the story. That game that you liked with the whales. Death Stranding had that
Death
shit.
Stranding
had with the whales.
Fucking whale bullshit.
It's funny because there's not really any whales in the game.
Well, there are a lot of whales in that game, in that fucking beach.
But
And
then people would bitch. They're like, we're hearing the same thing from every reviewer. It's like, yeah, because there's certain things they just couldn't say. There was just strict guidelines. So it's like, what's the point of really reviewing it if you could only say the same shit that the next site can talk about? It's like,
yeah,
there's more whales in Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah, by the way, it's interesting. My PC review of that game is actually more accurate than my initial review because, and I'll say this publicly, I don't care. We were only allowed to review the first four chapters. That's it. That's all we were allowed to review. You know, Everybody was under that embargo. That game was very strange. Even with the PC version, the game had already been out, and we could only use their specific screenshots. Like, I'm not showing anything that hasn't been seen. I'm showing BTs. I'm showing mules. Like, come on, guys. You know,
there was. I won't even bring up the game, but there was a game that I reviewed, and they didn't send me good assets, so I used my own screenshots. You know, because your PlayStation, you can take some really high quality.
Yeah, Manny knows about that. Send them all that shit. You know.
And then the rep hit me up. He was like, "Hey, why didn't you use what we gave you?" You know, I was like, "Cause you gave me like four that everybody else has."
Yeah.
And I was like, "There's no point in that." I was like, "Can I just use my own?" Well, let me get back to you. They never got back to me. And they left it, and I said, "I'm not removing it because if not, I would have no images."
Yeah.
If you're only gonna give me four images, and that's the same four that every other damn site has, what's the point?
That's the uniqueness factor. In other words, having essentially when you're doing those sorts of things, you want to have things that make it unique compared to everybody else.
My reviews on PC Mag, all my own screenshots. The only ones previews are not my screenshots because you have to use what they give you. But for actual reviews, all those things that you see, they're all mine, you know? All mines. Mines. But the Kena situation, yeah. Again, it's not like Sony's hiding it. They've been advertising the fuck out of it all weekend, you know? So...
Maybe the story? Is it the campaign? Is it very story driven?
I'll tell you afterwards. I can't say some shit. I did preview it. I'll just leave it at that. You know, I did preview the game. And it's actually good. It's a good game. I liked it. I enjoyed it. Very weird they're not advertising it. Thanks for that question, Brian. All right, now we are done. So does anybody have anything to plug? Let's start with Adam first tonight.
Oh, another episode of I Am Negan. For The Walking Dead, the podcast, myself, Richard Bailey Jr., over from the Coalition, and also Carlos, and we all put together. And so another episode, this is for Season 11, Episode 5, Out of the Ashes, that just aired tonight. For those who are like, oh yeah, we have this stuff, we had to change some things because of our connection with AMC. So now, even though AMC posts the episodes early, so like let's say if you're on AMC Plus right now, episode 6 is there, we're not allowed to discuss it or review it. We have to wait till 5 minutes after it's officially aired. Very weird. Literally 5 minutes. Like that's the thing. 5 minutes. Whatever. So that episode's out. So go ahead, check it out on iTunes, Spotify, all that stuff. And that's it. You know. And got some reviews, game reviews. This is that season, right? We got all these games coming. Everybody's spitting this shit out. Some good, some bad, some a waste of time.
Yeah.
Gamageddon.
You know? Gamageddon is here.
Like, that's it. Yeah.
I got a bunch of shit coming for you guys this week. A lot of previews specifically. And reviews, too. You know, even for games that I got a couple weeks ago. So thank you to those companies, you know, for doing that very timely, you know. All right, Manny, what you get?
Nothing right now, but there's lots of stuff coming. I keep saying this, but Excellence number 11 is out in stores and not on the field. So if you're interested in that series, why not go pick it up? Plenty of stuff coming from DC and some from Marvel. So stay tuned for that. Comic books.
All right, people, we're done here, man. So make sure you follow us on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube and join the Discord. You could find us on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show. And you can listen to past episodes of Throwdown on throwdownshow.com. And yes, if you are watching us on the YouTubes and you enjoy this content, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and ring the bell. And leave some comments, too. That stuff helps. You know, leave some comments. Yeah.
You know? If we're at the end of the show, but... You know, if you ever want to come down and in there, you know, a lot of the time I'm usually hanging out in the YouTube chats. If you want to chat me up a little bit while you're watching the show, I'm usually in there, listening along too.
Good stuff. All right, man. Links, as always, down below in the description. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco. And tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Adam Vale.
Yeah, have a good week, people.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
And Brian Monjoma.
Every year next year is going to be really funny because we have Zero Dawn 2, God of War, and Breath of the Wild 2 in the same year.
Uh-oh. That shit's going to be crazy.
Lots of twos.
No. know, lots of sequels.
I'm going to get canceled to push back.
Manny, lots of twos in 2022.
Whoa.
You know, all right, people, we'll see you on Thursday. Peace out.